Well, as you know, I'll mention this again in about a minute here, but each holiday has a different theme. This particular one, the theme was atonement. But we, at Passover, we had a different theme, which was what? Come on, you guys got to remember, okay? Redemption. What's the difference? Well, it's the same but different. Redemption has to do with paying a price to buy something back that you once had that you lost. And you pay a price. So it has to do with that. Now, this is a little bit different, this holiday. And I've got to tell you, I was surprised this year as I began to pray about what to say. And it was like, are you sure, Lord? I don't want to do the book of Hebrews where you have the ceremonies explained and the role of the high priest and the lamb and the goats and those are great things. I want to do that. Lord said, no, you're not doing that. And as you can see, we've had a little bit different theme, and we're continuing that tonight and tomorrow as well. And that theme had to do with a little bit different approach to forgiveness and atonement. Well, as a review, during these 10 days of awe, 10 days of repentance, this is kind of a catch-up from last Saturday, we deal with our sin, not somebody else's, our sin. Okay, we deal with our repentance. We ask, Lord, show me what I need to repent of so I can do that. We deal with our right standing before God. You know, the bottom line in the synagogue service is, are we right with God? And if not, let's get right. Okay, that's what that's all about. So that's what we do. We're mindful of that. But there's been one aspect in the years past, and maybe it's me, but it's been kind of overlooked, at least in my teachings, it's been overlooked. We come before the Lord. We confess our sin. We've been doing that. Our shortcomings. We confess. We receive forgiveness. But my question has been the last couple of weeks, can we give what we receive? Can we give out what we receive? This whole thing's talking about, it's such a phenomenal thing. We are receiving His forgiveness. Can you give it? Can you give it? Or, my question was, are we withholding what the Lord would have us grant to others? Are we withholding forgiveness of other people? Forgiveness can be a hindrance in fulfilling and our purpose that God has called us to, all that He's called us to be. Our lack of forgiveness, it causes bitterness and anger and things, you know, keep on going, and it's a block. It's a blockage. It's a sin. We declared that clearly last Saturday. Unforgiveness is a sin. It's a sin. But, you know, do we deal with that one? Because that deals with other people too, not just us. On Shabbat Shiva last week, we shared how Peter's a great example of a lot of things. The Lord used him to show us, okay? We showed how Peter was an eyewitness of what Yeshua said and did concerning forgiveness. We went down the list. All the things he saw and heard. He saw him forgive people. He heard the teachings. Okay, he could pass the exam, right? He saw. He was an observer. We want you to be a participant, not just an observer, all right? Then he stumbled and he fell. He denied the Lord at the worst possible time. We shared, though, how he did repent. He went out and wept bitterly. He repented. And in John 21, which was last week's message, he was restored. And his calling reaffirmed. Receiving forgiveness and the reaffirmation of that calling in front of all the rest of the disciples. Peter, I called you. The calling is still in effect. Still, I have forgiven you. The way you love me is okay. It's okay, okay? Keep doing it. You'll do better. You'll do better. And remember, just before the ascension, the last thing Yeshua said to his disciples, he gave them a commission. He gave them a message with a sense of urgency to go. Go now. Okay, Book of Acts people from a couple of years ago. Okay, remember our section in the Book of Acts? We spent about a month on this one little part, which I'm sharing tonight. The urgency was go now into all the world. Make disciples, that's hard work, by the way, of the nations. That word's Gentiles. Of the Gentiles. Teach them, the Gentiles, my message by precept and example. You see, we start looking at this, it's like, well, they're going to look at us. We're the role model. Okay, so Peter heard that. He got that, right? And so he obeyed, right? He went. He didn't. Why didn't he? That was a clear, the Great Commission. He didn't go. He stayed in Jerusalem. Why? What hindered him from doing his calling, which was to be a missionary, from obeying the master's command, which was really clear? Okay, the real question was, what's hindering us? We're going to look at what hindered him. Maybe it's the same thing. What's hindering us from being all that we can be? If Peter is going to proclaim a message of forgiveness, he first must be able to forgive. Ooh, that's hard, huh? I'd rather tell other people about how Yeshua forgives them. Well, yeah, well, that's part of it. But the second part is you have to be able to do the message. We have to do the message. It's the same with us. We have to learn Peter's lesson. If we are to take the message, we are to do the message. And you're still doing research, right, to find the verse that says it's easy? I can't find it. Help me out of this, okay? Help me out of this. At Yom Kippur, Mike Miller, we talk about Jonah every year a little bit. So I'm going to talk about him for 32 seconds right now. Jonah, God's prophet. You know, he was called and anointed to give God's word. He said, Jonah, yeah, here am I. Okay, I'm ready to go. I want you to go to Nineveh. Excuse me? Nineveh? That's the enemy. They want to kill us. They took my family captive, you know. Yeah, I want you to go to them and preach to them. And so Jonah went the other way. He did not want them to be saved. See, we think, well, I wouldn't dare even bring that subject up, that there are some people I don't want forgiven. Or even people I wouldn't want saved because of how they've hurt me. They don't deserve it. Do you? Did you read that? Do you? Well, Jonah didn't want to because, and as you read the book of Jonah, and it's customary this time of year, tomorrow I'll read Jonah as well. The thing of it is that Jonah said, you know, if I go there and proclaim your message, they might repent. And then my enemy is going to be saved. I don't want that. Excuse me, the great commission that Yeshua would give is to go to our enemy. Yeshua talked about the enemy. Peter didn't like that part. Okay, let's go to our friends. The Samaritans were borderline. Even borderline, right there. Learn a lesson from Peter. Okay, what's the connection of Peter to Jonah? Mike Miller, where'd you go? Well, okay, first of all, Simon Bar-Jonah is his name. Peter's father was named Jonah. He's not the same Jonah, but his name. So there's a namesake. But Peter will receive the same assignment from the Lord that God gave to Jonah in the same place, in Joppa. Interesting how those things all come together, huh? I mean, when we go on our trips to Israel, we go to places, we remember what happened there. You're telling me that Peter went to Joppa and didn't think about Jonah leaving on the ship? Sure he did. Of course he did. All right? So what's Peter going to do with his assignment? What's he going to do? Well, it wasn't easy for the Lord. We don't make it easy. In Acts chapter 10, we spent a month or 6 weeks on this one chapter alone. It took visions, angels, and the Holy Spirit speaking audibly directly to Peter before he got a breakthrough. And he was with Messiah for 3.5 years. What's it going to take for us? What's it going to take? Let's soften the hearts a little bit. Make it a little bit easier to him. But Peter was thinking, we're supposed to go to the nations? Lord, that means the Romans, right? They're the occupiers of our land, right? Yeah, go to them. They don't deserve. The hindrance was, and in our class, we took hours, I think, on this one thing. The traditional teaching of the rabbis of that time about Gentiles, which, by the way, was the opposite of Isaiah. Isaiah said that Israel was to be a light to the nation, to the Gentiles. But they didn't do it. And tradition got in the way. Because here's some things they taught. They taught that if you were invited to the home of a Gentile, Peter's invited to the home of a Gentile, and if you were served a kosher meal, you would still be unclean. because a Gentile touched it. That was the teaching of the rabbis of the time. Okay, that's a pretty big barrier. It's tradition. I have news for you. God never said Gentiles were unclean. He never said that. Or their homes. Now, there are certain foods he said were unclean. Actually, he didn't. Are you aware of that? He did not say that certain foods were unclean. Are you aware of this? Are you awake tonight? Okay, good. God told us what is food and what is not food. Okay, he didn't specify, well, this food, you can... No, that's not food. If you look at it like that, it makes it a lot clearer, huh? He said, that isn't food. Don't eat that. Well, we're on that, since we're fasting. Read Jordan Rubin's stuff. He goes in and he says, God said this is detestable. Why would you want to eat? That's a different subject, okay? Well, the point being is that if you had a kosher meal, you couldn't do it. But it was tradition. God never said that. Let's do what God says, okay? But that was a big barrier. God never said that about them. How is Israel going to be a light to the nations if you can't go to their house? Okay, but that wasn't the biggest barrier. There was a bigger one. It wasn't just Gentiles. It was the Romans, the oppressors, the occupiers. And he was told to go to the house of a specific Roman, a Roman soldier, a centurion. Acts chapter 10. Now the centurions were in charge of 100 special infantry men, leaders, special kind. The Roman legion was 6,000 people. There was one legion in Israel. They were divided into groups of 6,000, 600s, 60s, and 100s. All right, and then there were 10. 10 centurions to a legion. 10 centurions to a legion. There were 10 centurions in Israel. 10. Caesarea, you know what Israel is? It's a great site, Caesarea. That was the headquarters of the Roman government. It's Caesarea, named after Caesar. Okay, Caesarea is how you would say it. Luke. Luke writes as a rabbi. He writes the way rabbis teach. What do you think he got that? Where do you get that stuff, okay? And he gives us some hints. See, they teach with hints. The people reading back then knew exactly what he was saying. Knew exactly what he was saying. Hints to identify who that centurion is. They knew what he meant. Now, going back a little bit, because you're not going to find this in many books today. How I first got onto it was maybe 12 years ago at a Navy chaplains conference. I had a friend that I've known him for many, many years. Our paths keep crossing. He's replacement theology all the way, hardcore replacement theology. But in our discussions, he knows how different I am. We still love each other. One day he said at lunch, he said, oh, by the way, Chaplain Black, he said, you're not going to believe what I found out in my studying. He started digging deep for a PhD. And he says, I know who Cornelius really is. Then he tells me, I go, no way. That'd been in all the books. He said, dig and you'll find out what I'm talking about. I said, no, that can't be. He was right. I've been digging for years. And you know what? He's right. Acts chapter 10, Luke identifies Cornelius as the centurion of the Italian regiment, the Italian cohort. Now he keeps on talking. We read past that. So what? So what? Well, that was the one that was in Caesarea. Why were they there? These were the special forces, the elite, the Navy SEALs. Okay, they were the personal bodyguards of the governor, Pontius Pilate. The personal bodyguards. Pilate would only be in Jerusalem for the three main holidays. Otherwise, he's in Caesarea, the pilgrim holidays, and he would be at the Antonio Fortress, where Yeshua's trial took place in front of him. That centurion, his personal bodyguard, okay, that one, who was in charge of the elite special forces, okay, he was in charge of all capital trials and subsequent executions, including all punishment and mockery. That one, when he traveled with Pilate to Jerusalem, that centurion would be in charge. That centurion had to certify at a crucifixion that the victim really had died and report back to Pilate and actually give him a death certificate. I'm waiting for that to be found. I'm waiting for that one to be found. That's going to be good in the museum. All right? a death certain. Now think about that. He ordered the spear cast into Yeshua's side. Then he signed the paper. There is no doubt he is dead. Period. He had to do that. Peter was at the trials of Yeshua. As you walked through the Gospels, Peter was there. He was listening, watching. That's where he denied him, by the way, in one of the trials. He was at the crucifixion. He saw who was in charge. He didn't like that guy very much. He didn't like any centurions, but he didn't like that one at all. So why send Peter? Do you start getting a connection? Peter needs a breakthrough. He's not doing the Great Commission because he doesn't like Romans. Come on. One of the greatest books ever written, the book of Romans, by the way. Okay. But he needs a breakthrough to the nations. How is he going to get that? Peter, I have a job for you. It took the angels. It took all that stuff. Big things. Peter, the Lord speaking. He says, I want you to go to the officer in charge of my execution. Gulp. You know, the one who ordered the nails to be put into my hands and feet. The one who ordered the spear thrust into my side. Peter, I want you to go to that one. And I want you to tell him that I have forgiven him. I got to tell you, this picture is the biggest picture of grace there ever was, right here. Okay? There ever was. It's right here. Tell him I've forgiven him. That he's not unclean. Peter, you were there. You saw it all. And by the way, Peter, you heard what I said that day. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive who? Them. Peter, you too are to forgive him. You too are to forgive him. Can you imagine that? The person who killed your best friend, you have to forgive. It's right here. It's right here. Picture the grace of God. You see, we don't want to do that, do we? We just assume they burned in hell sometimes, don't we? Because of what they did. It's not the heart of Yeshua. Good for us. Good thing for us. It's not his heart. The first Gentile. Everybody know who's the first Gentile to come to the Lord? Cornelius. They don't even know who he is. The first Gentile to come to faith in Yeshua. The first Gentile to be filled with the Holy Spirit. He is the person who put him to death. Talk about God's grace. That day, Cornelius heard Yeshua say, Father, forgive them. But now we understand what those words meant. He receives forgiveness from Yeshua and from Peter. And he's filled with the Spirit. Breakthrough to the nations began with a Roman soldier who executed the Messiah, but now believes in him. Now, look at the testimony he has. He believes in him, that he's alive. He's the one who signed the death certificate, who now believes he's alive. Wait a minute. You signed, Cornelius, you signed that. Yeah, I know. He was dead. But you say he's alive. Yeah, he's alive. How can that be? Resurrection. He's alive. By the way, wouldn't this be a phenomenal witness to Jews? The person who certified his death claims that he's alive? Think about that one. And this is the example of how much Yeshua loves us. That Cornelius, in his testimony, can say, he forgave me. If he can forgive me, he can forgive anyone. And Peter, too. Peter forgave me. Okay? And it wasn't easy for him to do. But that's what he wants us to do at this time of the year, is to forgive the offenses of others. I picked the biggest one I could find. All right? Whatever you have isn't this big. Okay? This is how we are to love other people. It's the hearing and the doing, as we read tonight, the hearing and the doing. Some of us need to forgive someone. We're withholding forgiveness. That's a hindrance in our life. We have been offended. Yeah, so was he. But our lack of granting that forgiveness is hindering our growth. It's producing anger. It's getting worse. Bitterness. All those ugly words inside of us. It's keeping us from being all we could be in our calling. We're withholding forgiveness of someone else because they hurt us. They hurt us. Well, how far are you supposed to go? Peter's example. A friend of mine, a number of years ago, a Navy chaplain, received the worst possible news anyone can receive. He was the dean of a Christian college, and they called him into the office, he and his wife. Didn't have any idea why they called me dean, and I'm the one who's in charge, right? And they sat him down and they said, Daryl, I have the worst possible news to give to you. Your daughter has been murdered. His daughter in college was murdered for no reason, for no reason. Daryl went to the prison and met with the man who killed, who murdered his daughter and forgave him. Forgave him. I don't know if I could do that, okay? But he did because he said that's what Yeshua wants us to do. That's what he wants us to do. And I had to do that. I had to do that. Whatever the offense that's keeping you isn't as big as this one. Peter was offended. That Roman executed my best friend. Is your withholding of forgiveness the sin that's keeping you from growing? You know, the Lord led me to talk about this. It's for some reason. We need to break through this and be what he's called us to be and do what he's called us to do. Are you guilty of the sin of unforgiveness? See, that's what I want to zero in. What I want to zero in. We are to do what he did. We freely receive. All the liturgy, we freely receive. We are also to freely give. Before Peter could teach about forgiveness, he had to do it. He had to forgive. And now he's got a testimony, doesn't he? Can you imagine he and Cornelius traveling together? He's like Tass and Moran, right? Same kind of a thing. But that, what bigger picture of love can there be? Right there. There you have it. Peter learned in his own restoration and in this that God is a God of second chances. God is a God of second chances, you know? Okay? We may see certain people. It's not worth forgiving. He doesn't. He doesn't see that. But because of what they did to me, do you know? Of course he knows. What have we done to him? Peter would later write, he bore, by the way, he was referring to Isaiah 53. You saw the verse tonight? Peter said, he bore our sin in his body. Okay, we had something, our sin had something to do with his pain. Peter makes the connection later as he writes. As he writes. Let go of the bitterness. Let go of the anger. It's not worth it. It's not worth it. Let go of it tonight. Tonight. Ask God's forgiveness for your withholding of forgiveness to others. And grant it. Give it. Let go of it. You know, the one that hurt you, that one? That one? Ask tonight for his heart of mercy toward that person. Give to others what you have received. Pray that we can see as he sees. How does he see them? They have value. Peter, that centurion is going to open the door to Rome. You know, that one that you don't like? He sees what they could be. Pray that we can see people the way he does. Forgiveness can open the door to eternal life. But you've got to be able to give it. You've got to be able to give it. Freely give what we freely have received. It will make a difference in eternity. You will make a difference in eternity.